If you have your Bibles, take your Bible and turn to Revelation. Surprise, surprise, Revelation, right? After 12 weeks, we should be pretty familiar with the passages that we're going to. But I've really enjoyed this study on Revelation, because usually when you study Revelation, you study the rapture, the great white throne judgment, and maybe one or two other lessons, and that's about it. And this has been pretty thorough study of the book of Revelation, so I've really enjoyed it. What it's done for me is give me more of a motivation to go out soul winning, to reach the lost, because when I read about the tribulation and all the judgments and the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, I don't want anybody to go through that. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And so it's caused me to be more excited and more urgent about soul winning during these times. All right, here we are in Revelation 20, verse number 1. I told my wife this morning, I really am glad that I got to teach this lesson in here, because this lesson is full of good news. How much bad news have we gone through in the study of Revelation with all the judgments that I was talking about? But finally, we've come down. We're past the Battle of Armageddon, and now we're talking about the millennial kingdom and the millennial reign of Christ. Revelation 20, verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. So if you're not clear about who we're talking about, there's four descriptors right there. All right. Which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And we'll stop there in our reading today. And usually in my Sunday school class, we play a game. So I kind of miss game time today. But we also take prayer requests from the floor. Now, in a setting this size, we can't take prayer requests from the floor. But if anybody has an unspoken prayer request at this time, you just raise your hand. We'll pray for anybody who has an unspoken. There's a lot of hands, so I appreciate that. I'll pray for you at this time, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this Sunday school time and this Sunday school hour. Father, I just pray that you help me teach this lesson. And Father, I pray that you would meet the needs of every hand that was raised. And Lord, every hand represents a burden or a trial or a blessing or something that's going on in our lives, Lord, that we need your help with. God, I just pray that you'd touch each heart and help in each need that has been represented here by the uplifted hand, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with the sick at home, Lord, that would love to be here but can't. Father, I just pray that you'd be with Pam Britt, Lord, and bring her back to health, that she might be able to come and come to the services again. We just pray that you'd be with those that are sick at home. Father, I just pray that you'd meet with us today, even in the next hour. We just pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right. Like I said, good news. Good news. Here is verse number 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Satan is finally taken off the earth. And I love this passage here. It says, I saw an angel come down from heaven. Now, God is powerful. How powerful is God? He's so powerful, he created the earth and the entire universe and everything on the earth and man in 6 literal days. He's so powerful, he did all that. And he's so powerful that Satan is no problem for him whatsoever. Satan doesn't represent a threat to God. He's so powerful that when it comes to binding Satan, God doesn't even get his hands dirty. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, mainly the 80s, okay? And we had this expression. If a little kid would come up and start picking on you, if you were in high school and a little junior higher come start picking on you, you'd turn to one of your smaller buddies and say, hey, take care of my light work. Have you ever heard that expression before? Take care of my light work, okay? And so it's like God said to this angel, hey, angel, take care of my light work. That's how powerful God is. He doesn't, Satan does not pose a threat to the God of the entire universe. Here's our first, if you've got your book, I hope you brought your book. If you didn't bring your book, we'll just listen along with the rest of us. But if you brought your book, here's your first blank. After the Battle of Armageddon is over, Jesus Christ will establish a literal kingdom over the entire earth. This kingdom will be established on the earth for 1,000 years. Christ will be the conquering king and will set up a theocracy. Right now, the world is characterized by sin and a rebellion against the word of God. During the millennial kingdom, the world will be characterized by righteousness and submission to God. And that should be good news to every Christian in here. Don't you get tired of living in a world ruled by sin? I mean, and I'm not just talking to the United States of America, which is fair to say we're ruled by some wicked people right now, but worldwide, we see the effects of sin in governments all across the world. But during their millennial kingdom, it won't be that way. When will the millennial kingdom be set up? Now, we talked about the rapture. Now, the rapture is when all the Christians go up out of the earth, and then the tribulation starts. But when will the millennium kingdom be set? It will be set up after the 7-year tribulation period. 7 years. 7 years to me, and now 7 years when I was a kid seemed like forever. It was 7 years when I was 5 years old. I was waiting 7 years to become a teenager, and that time was so long. But now that I'm 50 years old, yeah, buddy. Now that I'm 50 years old, 7 years is like this. It's just a snap of the fingers. It's 7 years go by. We see some of these little kids that are born in the nursery, and next minute they're 7 years old. As I told my girls, I said, you won't believe this. I live my life in 5-year increments. 5 years. 5 years is like a year to me. So 7 years is a blink of an eye, too. But if you're going through the tribulation, it could seem to last forever. And if the first 3 years of the tribulation are horrible, the first 3.5 years, the second 3.5 years are just going to be unbearable for the people that are here. But can you imagine after the 7-year tribulation of all these horrible things happening on the earth and disease and pestilence of literal fire from heaven. And you read this, you read the passage about all these things, and it just boggles your mind. All these things are so foreign to us, so strange to us. I mean, life on earth right now is basically pretty calm. I mean, we have our seasons, we have snowfall, and we have oppressive heat, and we think that's tribulation. These people have fire falling from heaven and locusts. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Old Testament days. See, we're New Testament Christians. All this is foreign to us. People calling fire from heaven, that's a strange thing. Back in Elijah's day, it wasn't so strange. So we're going to a time period that we've never been through before, and these people are experiencing it. But after that, after a time of the worst possible time in human existence, is coming the best possible time in human existence. We're talking about going back to a Garden of Eden experience. It will be set up after Satan has been bound. Let's go to Revelation 20, verse number 2 and 3. We read this, but we'll revisit it. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So, for 1,000 years, the devil is going to be bound in the bottomless pit. And, you think about that. We've never experienced a time in our lives where the devil didn't have free rein to deceive the nations, to deceive communities, to deceive us as individuals. But during this time, he's not even going to be a part of it. You think about the deception that we don't even know that we're being deceived. We don't even know how much influence Satan has on our personal lives because we've lived it all of our lives. But during the, because you think about this, I mean, as a Baptist, as a Christian, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And when I read the account of creation, I must believe it's true because I believe that the Bible is true. And I'm not deceived by that. But you think of all the scientists in the world who see scientific evidence that proves creation is the only possible way that that could happen. But their eyes are blinded to the truth. Why? Because they're deceived by the great deceiver. During this time, all that deception will go away. Everything will become clear as to, oh, all this didn't just happen one day because of some big bang. God, the person sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, created all of this. All that deception will go away and people will believe the truth because they won't have the deception of the deceiver anymore. You think what the three sins to me that are Satan's calling card is deception, pride, and I wrote something else down here, but I can't read my own writing now. Deception, pride, and rebellion. Deception, pride, and rebellion. The devil rebelled against God in the first place, and that's why he was kicked out. He had pride. He thought he was going to lift himself up above God. And he also went down to earth and he deceived Adam and Eve. So his three main deceptions, his three main motives of sin are going to be taken away when he's taken and bound in the bottomless pit. You say, how can the world go from being so wicked to being so peaceful? The deceiver won't be around anymore. Who will live in the millennium kingdom? Christ will live and reign as king. Christ will sit upon his throne. And the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of Christ. That's in your notes there. The kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of Christ. Today in many countries, people fear the government because the government has put their thumb over the people. Governments in many nations, they oppress their people. When Christ is reigning over the earth, there will not be a fear of corrupt government, but rather a fear of God. God will not be out of sight, out of mind. It's sad to say, as Christians, sometimes we live that way. Why? We walk by faith and not by sight. But sometimes we don't have the faith and we don't see God in our everyday lives as we should. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes if our faith is waning, we don't see God. But during the millennial kingdom, we can walk by sight and not by faith. I know that don't sound right, but it's true. Today, I can't go to a place and see Jesus. But in the millennial kingdom, you will be able to go to a place on earth and see Jesus. And I'm sure we'll be able to see him on our iPhones, right? We'll be able to see Jesus anytime. We will. I sent a text message to Brother Marty today, and I was talking about his mom yesterday, and he said, you know, he's thinking about her as he works around the house, and I said the one thought that got through my dad's passing was Dad knows what Jesus looks like. Dad knows what Jesus looks like. He's seen the nail scars on his hands. He's seen the thorn print on his brow. He's seen Jesus face to face. And during the millennial kingdom, everyone on earth, saved and unsaved, will see Jesus face to face. And the Bible says that, Revelation. Well, let's just keep going. I don't want to run out of time. And what time are we done? Thank you, 10:30. All right, we're doing all right. We're doing okay. The martyr of tribulation saints. Those who resist the Antichrist and are martyred will be given resurrection bodies. These martyr saints are rewarded by reigning with Christ for 1,000 years during the tribulation. Here's in your notes. During the tribulation, these saints experience great reproach and shame. But during the kingdom, they will be given authority and power. Revelation 20, verse number 4. All right, now we're caught up. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls. Now, these are the people that are ruling and reigning. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. So these are people that during the tribulation, they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these are tribulation saints that will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Who else will be there? Believers in Christ. We will live on the earth during the millennial kingdom. We will come back to the earth on white horses at the Battle of Armageddon. So if you take your Bible and turn back to Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Brother Wayne Irvin, I agree 100% with you. Here is Jesus on a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Then skip down to verse number 14. And Brother Irvin said that he was challenged that we're not coming back on white horses. Now, I am not a theologian or a Bible scholar, but I can read words off of a page. And it says in verse number 14, and the armies which were in heaven, that's us who were saved, who went up in the rapture, who had been eating the marriage supper of the Lamb for 1,000 years or for 7 years. All right. Verse number 14, followed him upon white horses. That's pretty plain. That's pretty plain scripture right there. Jesus was on a white horse, and we're following him on white horses. Now, I don't know how to ride a horse, but I hope in my new body I'll be able to ride a horse. But they were on white horses, but better than that, the end of that verse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. What's that? What does that represent? That represents the righteousness of not us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We were saved from hell. We were saved from our sins. And God took a white robe and clothed us in Jesus' righteousness. All of our sins have been washed away, white and clean, never to be remembered anymore. That's amazing. And that's how we're going to come back to this earth. We left this earth as sinners saved by grace. But we're coming back to this earth as in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's an amazing thought. I just had to share that with you. I thought it was pretty neat. So I thought that's not in the notes, but I thought I'd just share that with you. How wonderful it is to be saved. Okay, let's see here. Believers in Christ. We will also be rewarded during the time of the millennial kingdom with a position of authority on the basis of our service to Christ and our obedience right now. That bears repeating. We also, when I say we, that means these people, all of us in this room who were saved, we also will be rewarded during the time of the millennial kingdom with a position of authority on the basis. So there's a caveat to this, on the basis of our service to Christ. You say, it doesn't matter that if we serve in the church or we serve God in the community. It doesn't. Yes, it does. It makes a difference. The Bible talks about suffering loss. and gaining rewards. And one reward will be authority during the millennial kingdom. Now, I'm not the type of person that's trying to grab authority. I'm just not that type of person. All right. But authority is given as a reward for faithfulness and service. Who wouldn't want authority based on how much you served God here on earth? Service to God is so important. Service to Christ and our obedience right now. And we know the story about the talents. So we won't belabor that. We won't turn in our Bible about that. But that's what God bases our authority during the millennial kingdom upon our servants today. The tribulation saints lived through the tribulation. So there's three different groups of people. There are martyred saints. There are believers in Christ, and then there are saints who live through the tribulation period. Next, will there be unbelievers? I need some water. Boy. Will there be unbelievers who live during the millennium? The Bible clearly teaches that after 1,000 years of Christ reigning, Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit. All right, so here's a portion of Scripture, Revelation 27 through 9. So let's turn back to Revelation 20, verse number 7. After 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, Satan will be loosed. Revelation 27 through 9. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive. So that deception that I was talking about before that we're living through right now isn't going to be there during the 1,000 years, but it's coming back after the 1,000 years. When I was a kid, sitting in Sunday school, to my Sunday school class, I always described myself as a Baptist brat because I was in the 2-year-old nursery of a Baptist church. And all I've ever known my entire life is the Baptist church. Okay, so I'm a Baptist brat. So that I would sit in pews like this, or some that didn't have so much padding. Remember the old days, right? And I would hear preachers preach about this, and I would in my mind, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Here is the tribulation period. It's the worst time in human history. Then here's 1,000 years of peace. Peace like no other time in human history. The Bible talks about a little baby playing at the hole of a snake. And not being bit, and a young child shall lead a lion, and I think, wow, that's a great time. The millennium is a wonderful time. But then after the millennium, people get back on Satan's side? That didn't make any sense to me. Why would they do that? They've seen 1,000 years of what God can do in ruling and reigning and bringing peace on earth, and yet Satan gets loosed out of the bottomless pit, and the unsaved say, okay, we'll go back with you, Satan. It still doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the kind of deception we're talking about. That's the power of deception that the devil brings. You wonder sometimes why people believe in evolution. Why is there so much evil, wickedness going on? That's the type of deception that the devil brings with him out of the bottomless pit. But let's make sure that I'm staying. Okay, there we go. True to the notes. Here we go. So Satan will be released out of the bottomless pit. What will the millennium kingdom be like? It will be a time of revival of the nation of Israel. If you take your Bibles, go back to Ezekiel. We got another 15 minutes. Ezekiel 36 and verse number 24. And I'll give you a minute to find Ezekiel. Me and Mindy always race to see who can come up with the Bible passages first. And I always act like I win. Even if I don't get it, I don't show her what page I'm on. But Ezekiel 36:24. For I will take you from among the heathen. Isn't that wonderful? And gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Israel has a land. It's not the land they have now. It's much bigger than it is right now. If you study it, and I didn't, I've never been to Israel. I would love to go, but I've never been there. But I've heard that the land of Israel was given by God in an area much bigger than it has today. And they're going to get that land back, according to the scripture, will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. Let's talk about the nation of Israel. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Here, right now, the nation of Israel is blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The only way to get to heaven is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They're blinded to that fact. Some Jews are getting saved right now, but by and large, it's us Gentiles who are getting saved during this church age. It's just a fact. But during the millennium, when the church is taken out, then the focus is going to come back to the nation of Israel, and God's going to give them a new heart, a soft heart. And the Spirit of God is going to move among among the nation of Israel like it moves among us today. And so that new heart is so important that for the revival of the nation of Israel, because where does revival begin? Revival begins in your heart. I know when the Lord stirs my heart to get sin out of my life and to get back to a place, you know, what the first part of Revelation talks about, when you're in love with the Lord, love for the Lord, where does that start? Right in your heart. And the nation of Israel will experience a revival in their heart. It'll be a time of peace. If you take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 60. We touched on this a little bit before. Well, here I took my little piece of paper out that was supposed to keep my page while I was waiting on you. And now you're waiting on me. But I'm pretty quick. Ask Mindy. All right, here we go. Isaiah 60, verse number 21. Let's go with verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land." Who's tired of the violence? I live in Kankakee. I had a church member today say, "You know some of that shooting that happened this week in Kankakee? That was right across from my house." I'm tired of it. I'm tired of violence. All right. Yeah, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. I'm not even going to go there. We can use our guns for sport instead of self-protection in that day. All right. It's a good thing I didn't go there. "Wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise." I love praise. I love coming to this church and hearing praise every Sunday. Praise in the music service. But we don't stop with just the music in this church. We have praise during the preaching. I like to hear a hallelujah coming from this corner. And I like to hear a... mimic Brother Larry. I can't even do it. I love it. I love it. Me and Brother Dan sit across from each other. And the kids are like, Brother Dan said amen. What are you going to say amen? It's like a competition over here, all right? I give you a glory to God, and he'll give you a praise of the Lord. Now, like, he just stole my praise of the Lord. I got to come back with the praise of the Lord a little bit later. But I love it. I love our worship. I love our preaching services here because the praise of the Lord is heard in this house. All right. Verse number 21. "Thy people also shall be all righteous." All righteous. That means we're going to be all right. "They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified." In the nation of Israel, during the millennial kingdom, God will be glorified. He'll be back to his rightful place in the nation of Israel. The animal kingdom will be changed. Isaiah 11. So just a few pages over. I mentioned this before. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now, of course, when I was a kid, I always thought they were talking about kids. But that's not exactly a kid, right? That's some kind of farm animal. Y'all figure it out. It was baby goat, I think. Anyway. The kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead all of them. All of them. All of them that we just mentioned, the lion, the leopard, the wolf, and this little child is just leading them by the leash. Here we go. We're going to go down. Amazing time. Amazing time. So who wouldn't want to go through all that? Who wouldn't want to love the Lord and serve the Lord and be saved? Who wouldn't want that? It's amazing. So back to Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 20, verse number 7. We're almost to the end here. Satan will be loose for a little season. I would touch on this. And Satan, who is the deceiver, will deceive the nations one last time. Revelation 20, verse number 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now, once again, when I was a kid, people would confuse the Battle of Armageddon with this battle. They're two different battles. Okay, they're two different battles. So Gog and Magog together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And then we get our swords out and our shields and really... No, that's not what the Bible says. That's kind of cool to think about. But that's not what the Bible says. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So once again, we just sit back and relax, you know, and just watch God do his thing. We watch God bring fire right out of heaven and devour them all. You think about that. I mean, when I think of fire falling out of heaven, I think back to Elijah and the prophets of Baal, don't you? I think about them taking that altar, and Elijah, that altar looks pretty dry. Let's do something about that. Get some barrels of water and throw water barrels on top of that altar. Nah, that's not enough. Let's keep going with some more water. And he soaks that water. And that, it doesn't just fill the altar. It runs down and fills the trench that they dug around the altar. And he says, I think we're ready now. And he calls fire out of heaven in a very short prayer. Very short prayer. Consumes the water. Consumes the animal that was on the altar. And read the Bible. It consumes the altar. The stones that made up the altar. So do you think any of these people are going to survive this? No. Not one person is going to get out alive from this battle right here. Okay? And verse number 10. Here's Brother Wayne mentioned this in his lesson last week. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where his two buddies are, the beast and the false prophet, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank the Lord. He's tormented you all your life, and now he's going to be tormented all his life, and then Brother Dan's going to get up and sing the judgment. Or that's what I want. That's what I picture in my mind that's going to happen. I love that song and I love the way he sings it. But angels standing at attention, man. And the devil, our great deceiver, that's the last time he's mentioned in Scripture. No more devil. Can you imagine that? No more devil? once again, as a kid, in my pea brain, I used to worry. We're going to be in heaven, and there's going to be no sin, but the devil's going to get out of hell, and then he's going to get to heaven, and he's going to trick somebody, and all this is going to happen all over again. Nope. It's not the way it works. Once God puts the lid on the lake of fire and brimstone, and the devil is in there, he's in there. That's how powerful God is. He created all of this. And he is so powerful that he's stuffing Satan in hell, never ever to be heard from again. Amen. I agree. Amen. All right. God, what is the practical application of the millennial kingdom? God wants to rule and reign in our life right now. Now is the time. Now is not the time to rebel against God. That's satanic stuff. That's the devil's lie. That's the devil's deceit. That's a deceit that he puts in the heart of a teenager. A Christian teenager. Someone very much like me when I grew up in this church. I was 13 when I walked in the back door of Faith Baptist Church. I was 12 when I walked in the back door of Faith Baptist Church. And Brandon Rigsby shook my hand for the first time. And I wasn't saved. And I was full of rebellion. Full. From my head to my toes. Full of rebellion. And I got saved. And I enjoyed being saved. And I went soul winning. And I read my Bible. But the devil is a deceiver. And he brought me back to some of that rebellion that I had before I was saved. And man, I wanted to do my own thing. Didn't want to listen to the preacher. I wanted to live my life. With no rules, right? No rules. But you know what? I found the best thing to do is give your will over to the Lord. And let him take control of your life. And your life just gets better and better and better. The more of your life you yield over to the Lord, the better your life becomes. So life goes much better when Christ is on the throne. Our life, here's your last blank to fill in. Our life goes much better when Christ is on the throne of our hearts. And that is so true. I know that in my life. I can see that. I've been the college and career teacher since Brother Larry graduated from high school. Brother Larry and Hannah Walker, angel to us, but Hannah Walker were in my very first college and career age class. But you know, I've watched these people. And the people that have graduated high school and have surrendered the throne of their life to God, their life just gets better and better and better. And sad to say, the people that didn't, their life gets worse and worse and worse. Because sin doesn't subtract, or sin doesn't add, it multiplies. But God's blessing also multiplies. The more you got to be a debtor to no man. The more you give, the more of your life you give to him, the more he'll give back to you in the form of blessings. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of the people. Lord, I just thank you for being with me today. Help us in the next hour. In your name I pray. Amen.